this morning. So good to see everybody, and we want to welcome everyone joining us to worship by the internet. We're on Ustream, YouTube, and sermon audio and video on there as well. So welcome to everybody. Good morning to you. Number 13 in your hymnal, number 13, it should be up on the board if you would all stand up with us as we sing to praise the Lord.
Praise ye the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise ye the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shelters thee under his wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what he ordained? Praise ye the Lord, who with marvelous wisdom hath made thee, decked thee with life and health, guided and stayed thee. Let in grief hath not he brought thee relief, spreading his wings for to shade thee. Praise ye the Lord, who doth prosper thy work and defend thee, who from the heavens the streams of his mercy doth send thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, who with his love doth befriend thee. Praise ye the Lord, O let all that is in me adore him. All that hath life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again. Gladly for I we adore him.
Amen. You all can be seated.
Well, so good to see all of you. We are back again after a 2 weeks hiatus. We're glad to see you. Hope you're safe. I'm sure Brother Horton will probably mention this in the announcements, but I was told yesterday that last night at 12 o'clock ended the required mask for Williamson County. It doesn't mean that you can't use a mask if you want to. Some of us are so used to doing that when we go in public places, you may continue to do that. But just still practice all of the hygiene and the rest of the things which we should be doing all the time anyway. Reading from God's Word, Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun and to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who must humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raises up the poor out of the dust. He lifts up the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He makes the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, we call upon you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for this day that you have made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. We thank you, Father, for bringing us back together again today. We read in your word that we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and that we should gather as often as we can, as often as your divine providence allows us to do so. We want to thank you that you're in charge of all things in this world, that you rule and that you reign and work all things after the counsel of your own will. And Father, that we know that includes also the weather and all of these other climate changes and all of these things. We ask you, Lord, to help us to trust you at all times and in all places. We pray for this nation, for the United States, that you will turn us again unto thee. You turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers' hearts to the Lord, and that the Lord Jesus Christ may again rule and reign and be praised by all who are in authority. We pray for those in the government, as you have instructed us to do, that their hearts may be brought up to thee, their eyes may be turned toward thee. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins and for cleansing us from all unrighteousness through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to bless us today with your presence and with your power, and give us a spiritual understanding in the study of your word and in the singing of hymns and praises to thee, for thou art worthy. Through the Lord Jesus Christ we pray, for his sake we ask it. Amen.
Good morning again to everybody, and number 20 in your hymnal, if you'd like to use it, it's up on the board. We praise thee, O God, our Redeemer.
We praise thee, O God, our Redeemer, Creator, in grateful devotion our tribute we bring.
Miss Lynn. I don't see Miss Lynn because she asked me to do this song a few weeks ago. Is she here? Good. Okay, good. So, oh, there she is over there. Good. Feeling mighty fine. Can we stand up again for this one? What'd you say? Regardless of what occurs or doesn't occur, we can always feel fine in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I woke up this morning feeling fine. I woke up with heaven on my mind. I woke up with joy in my soul. Why? Because I knew my Lord had control. I knew I was walking in the light, because I'd been on my knees in the night. And I prayed to the Lord to give me sight. And now I'm feeling mighty fine.
I've been reading this week in the book of Exodus, you know, talking about the land that flows with milk and honey. That was a type, but we've got the ultimate land that flows with milk and honey with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're all headed there if we're in Him. All right, you all can be seated.
Good morning. I've been studying this week, so you may have noticed I look a little brighter up here today. All right, it's the lights. We've put these new lights up in order to enhance our broadcast over the internet, and hopefully I won't fall as I go down to the steps from being blinded by some of it. It's certainly good to be back in the house of the Lord, and I know as we call many of you, you express how you miss the opportunities to come to worship. That's for many of you, today is a special day, and it's a day, one of your favorite days of the week. And I know certainly we enjoy to be in the house of the Lord and to be among God's people. And I want you to know that the deacons and elders don't take closing of the church lightly at all. But we do so in what we feel is the best interest of all of us for our safety in the times of winter weather and other situations. So if you are not on the notification list that we have, some of you are not in the directory, some of you are not on the email list, and some of us have your phone numbers, but others of us do not. If you certainly want to be included in our email distribution list, you can get with me at any time, and I'll be happy to add you to that list. We also want to say, in addition to welcoming those who worship with us every week, welcome to our first-time visitors that are here today. And if you did not get an opportunity, we ask that you would sign the register that's located in our foyer around round table out front, just so that we might have a record of your attendance today. This is the time in the service where we mention a few prayer requests that have been made known, and we ask that as we talk about these different things, that you would lift them up in prayer throughout the week as the Lord calls them to your mind. So we certainly want to say a welcome not only back to everybody here, but also to Teresa and Benny Hargrove are back here with us today after suffering the virus. Teresa and Benny asked me to read a card. It says, "Thank you so much." And on the inside it says, "To our Grace Church family, a note to thank you for your thoughtfulness and to let you know it really meant a lot. For all the telephone calls, the get well cards, and the food provided for us while we were sick, we love and appreciate you, Benny and Teresa." So it's great to have them both back with us today. We also want to mention Shirley Murphy. Continue to lift up Shirley in the recent loss of her husband of 63 years. It's a long time to be with somebody and then suddenly to be without. But Shirley is doing well. As you know, she did suffer two falls over the winter weather, one in which she hit her head and got a couple of knots on her head. But thankfully, the scans showed that there was, in her words, nothing up there. But she had a second fall that really messed up her shoulder and her rotator cuff. And she has seen improvement over the last few days from that. She goes to the Franklin Bone and Joint Clinic this Friday for some follow-up, and we just pray that she might learn good news from that. We also want to recognize that she, because of all the twisting that happened when she fell, her legs are extremely weak. And so just slight movements in her back basically cause, I guess, her sciatic nerves to be closed off, and she will almost fall just from trying to stand up. So just remember her before the Lord, that her balance might be restored and that she might get some relief very soon. She certainly wants to be back here in the house of the Lord. We also continue to remember Marie Dalton and the recent loss of that their family has suffered. Marie lost her brother, Mark Smotherman, and also her grandson, Daniel Jacob. And Daniel leaves behind three young children. So let's remember them before the Lord. I also learned late last night that Wallace Haddon also fell on the ice this past Monday. They didn't share that with me, and certainly I don't know if they shared it with anybody else, but he fell on the ice. They had their driveway scraped, but it still had some patches of ice, as many of you probably experienced at your home. He fell on the ice. He cut his elbow, according to Mary, down to the bone. He had a cut on his head, and he also broke one of his ribs. He didn't immediately go to the doctor, and his pain started increasing in his elbow, and now his elbow is infected. So he's being treated for that infection. And then last night, he was taken to the emergency room. He actually went to Vanderbilt Walk-In Clinic, and they sent him to the emergency room, and he's had another bout of diverticulitis. So he's currently in Williamson Medical Center trying to overcome the effects of that. So let's lift up Wally before the Lord, and certainly Mary, as she tries to minister to his needs. Many of you also may have seen an email that I sent out that Jeff and Kathy Gall asked prayer on behalf of their son, Austin, 30 years old. Austin was released from Rolling Hills Hospital and is now in a sober living home in Murfreesboro. And they just asked for prayer for the Lord's strength, for the Lord's wisdom, for the Lord's guidance as they deal with this matter, and certainly for Austin's salvation. For we know that for all of us have sin and all of us have things that plague us, but it's the deliverance of the Lord that makes us well. So let's lift him up and this family before the Lord. We also want to remember Dale Hazelwood's dad and mom and his grandmother. They're all recovering very well from the virus. As Dale's 92-year-old grandmother is right now in a facility, the mother and Dale's father, rather, and his aunt have some tough decisions to make about her long-term care. So let's ask the Lord to intercede on their behalf. We also want to continue to remember Sue Martin's niece, Patty, who is undergoing some treatments, I believe, still. Is that right? Chemo treatments for aggressive lung cancer, so let's remember her. Also, Cheryl Cawthron's sister, Joanne. Joanne recently had a cardiac ablation that did not apparently work, and she had some complications as a result of that. She did have another cardiac ablation that seems to have went well, and I understand she's doing very well from that. So let's continue to remember Joanne. Both Cheryl and her husband are both doing fine themselves. Patricia Jackson also had her pain pump refilled, but it didn't help much with her pain. Her GI symptoms do seem to be under control, and she is scheduled to have her shoulder surgery this coming Tuesday. So let's lift her up before the Lord for that. Also, Nelson specifically mentioned that this is a very delicate procedure for her because of the fragility of her bones in that area. So let's ask the Lord to intercede on her behalf. Also, she has her cataract surgery scheduled for mid-March at this time. George Bishop's recent bladder biopsy showed no new tumors, so we praise the Lord for that. He also, though, is still having about a pain level of 5 for this shingles virus that he underwent several weeks ago, maybe even a month and a half ago by now. So it's really hanging on for him. We pray that the Lord might deliver him from that. Michelle George has recovered well from her recent COVID virus. She has some lab tests this past week, and her oncologist has also pronounced her in remission for her cancer. So we praise the Lord for that. We're also thankful to the Lord that Carl and Ruby Perry are both over the virus. However, just like a lot of people that suffer the virus, they have bouts of exhaustion from very little activity. So let's continue to remember them. Also, Carl did have a biopsy on this spot on his head, and it did reveal that he had basal cell carcinoma cancer. He will have surgery on March 12th to remove that cancer. Now, I don't believe this is the first time that he's had that particular type of cancer. And as you know, Carl's had throat cancer, and the Lord has been pleased to deliver him each time. So let's ask the Lord to intercede on his behalf. Also, on February 3rd, I reported to you on behalf of Beth Moran about to pray for Chris Darby. This is the young lady who went in for what is considered a routine surgery that didn't go well. And she, as a result of that, she was admitted and placed on a ventilator. She had a double pneumonia, and also apparently one of her blood vessels were nicked during the surgery. 25 days later, she is now starting to finally recover from that procedure and is expected to have a full recovery. So we thank the Lord for that. I also want to remind you, I'm sure many of you have seen the weather forecast that's coming in. They're predicting some strong to severe storms this afternoon, starting around 5 p.m. and lasting around midnight. These storms certainly have the potential for heavy rain, strong wind, maybe up to 3 more inches of rain. And with the ground already saturated, we're bound to see some flooding as a result of that. And there is the possibility of some tornadoes that may exist. So please stay weather aware into this evening and tomorrow. Also, I just want to remind you that if you want to give a gift to the church, we are not passing the offering plate right now, but there is a box in the foyer on the round table. If you want to give a gift to the church, we encourage you to put your gift there. At this time, I want to call Nelson and Elder Turner up, and also Lynn and Bill up, please. Both of you two. So while every day that we worship here is a time of celebration, this day is a special time. We have the privilege and have been asked to acknowledge the fact that for the past 50 years this month, Bill and Lynn have ministered to the needs of Grace Church congregation. If you've ever seen any of Bill's works in writing, if you've ever listened to any of his messages that he records, his five-minute studies, no matter what it is, this man has touched not only the lives of the people in this room today, but over the course of 50 years, many lives across not only this local congregation, but across the internet, across when they used to be on TV, and in correspondence that he does on numerous occasions, phone calls that he has with people, and many other things. And Lynn, of course, has been there to support him in that effort and has been a minister of God's word to many herself. And so we just want to take this opportunity to present him with a couple of things that hopefully will recognize his years of service to Grace Church. And I appreciate all of you who took part in making this happen today.
Well, Todd, let the cat out of the bag. I was going to say, first of all, you did not win the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes. These flowers...
Thank you, Bill.
It doesn't seem possible because I'm not that old, but 50 years ago this month, Bill and Lynn started the little church, a little rundown building across the street in a hollow. And wasn't long after that, they started a Christian school, and my kids were about ready to go to school, so I started them in that little Christian school over there, and that's how I met Bill and Lynn, and through Bill's preaching, I came to know the Lord, and was baptized shortly thereafter, and my wife was too. So we appreciate you very much and love you very much too.
Not only for the 50 years that you've been here, but even before that, my wife and I knew you preaching the gospel in the little church there at Acre, Georgia.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you came up here and preached at homes and the conference rooms and motels, and like Nelson has said, finally a little swayback building in the hollow across the road, and now we have this edifice the Lord has blessed us with. Praise through God. It all.
Yeah.
You two have been steadfast in your ministry and in serving the people whom the Lord has placed you here to minister to, and we do appreciate very much your faithfulness.
And it's okay if you let that go to your head.
If you're okay. I don't know what to say. I'm totally shocked.
God be the glory.
Thank you.
God be the glory.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I just told somebody, some visitors that have been watching us online, I said, we've been here this month. We'll be here 50 years. I said, they looked at me shocked, and I said, I know I don't look like it, but I said, we've gotten old here. I mean, when you think about it, we have gotten totally old here. And y'all just pray for us that we'll continue on until the Lord calls us home or calls us out or or something, but we love all of y'all. So that's all I can say is, like you said, thank you. Thank you very much. Very nice. Thank you.
So as a part of the gift, they received that a thumb drive that has many of you speaking to them and telling them what they've meant to you over the time that you've been here and worshiped with us. And so, Bill, if you need Ken's help putting that thumb drive in, he's available. Thank you all.
Well, let's worship the Lord. If you have a hymnal in front of you, I want to thank you, all of you, for your faithfulness. We've had lots of people in this area in this 50 years. And, of course, we had an extensive traveling ministry for a long time, teaching in conferences, preaching and lecturing and all of that. And the Lord has been gracious to us, gave us good health. He healed us innumerable times from problems that plagued us. And here we are today, and we're glad you're here today, and want to encourage you to be careful and to try to be safe. We like doing hymns here. This is an old hymn called All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Get you to stand one more time. It's page 42. We call upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for giving us this time together today. And Lord, we do thank you for the years that you've allowed us to serve you in this place, and for the way that you have blessed our going out and our coming in, our uprising and our sitting down. Surely you have blessed us and brought us to this time. We pray, Father, that you will continue to bless your word, your holy word, and give us the strength that we might all be faithful to it, and to our Savior who has redeemed us, even Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. I don't know whether to have you continue to stand or not. This is At the Cross. It's page 129 in your hymnals. Well, that's it. Let them stand.
Alas, and dear,
seated.
Y'all believe that? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I was thinking about a little girl last night. I didn't even know Bill was going to have that song this morning, but Natalie Stone, when she was a little bitty girl, we called her Natty, and I taught her that song, and I taught it to her with the, you know, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, rolled away. And she would just sing that song, and she'd say, the burden of my heart rolled away. And I wonder, I told Bill, I said, I think I'm going to contact Natalie, see if she remembers that. You know, she was a precious little girl to us at that time. But anyway, it's a good thing to know that your burdens are all rolled away.
We like to appeal to the Lord to help us when we open His Word and seek to worship Him. Father, I stretch my hand to Thee. No other help I know. If I withdraw myself from Thee, where shall I go? I invite your attention to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and in just a moment, God willing, we're going to continue in this series of studies titled Reasons for Christians to Rejoice. Now, from time to time, I share letters with you, and I would like to share two things with you. First, a letter, and then something about next Sunday. This is actually Dale. This was addressed to Dale Hazelwood. And it said, Dear Mr. Hazelwood, thank you for contacting me by mail, as I don't own a computer or an iPhone. And a lot of people that don't, they're like me, they're Neanderthals. It says, thank you, please continue to send me the CDs of Pastor Sasser's sermons. I will send a donation next week, next Wednesday, when I get paid. You noted to respond as soon as possible. So she said, Dale, you said in your letter you wanted a response. And here's the thing I wanted to share with you. After I listened to them, she said, I give them to my son, and he listens to them. And then he has four boys, and we are involved in sports, and while he's sitting there in his automobile, sometimes at sporting events, he listens to these studies, these messages. Plus, I send some of them to my two brother-in-laws in Indianapolis. And then she goes on to say that she shares these CDs with other people, and she lives up in New Jersey. I got a phone call this past week from a dear brother in Pennsylvania. So tell all your friends and families and people who live in other places that we are on YouTube, Ustream, and audio, sermon audio, video. They can pick up that on any of those things. Now, having said that, let me try to prep you for next Sunday. Next week, we're going to have a guest speaker. And if you have, and I mean this, if you have a boy or a girl or a mom or dad, a brother or sister, a friend, a colleague at work, who's had some serious problems, Now, we all have serious problems in that we live in this world, but I mean problems that involving drink, drugs, any of those things. I want you to try to get them here next Sunday, because you're going to hear a testimony from a brother, and that testimony will convince you that the Lord's grace is sufficient to save any sinner. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and then he added, of whom I am chief. So if he can save me, he can save anybody. But this testimony will especially deal with some of these issues that plague a lot of people today. And so I want to ask you to be present, and I want to ask you to try to bring somebody with you. As I say, if you have somebody in your home that has a problem, try to get them here. Try to bring them here and pray, and maybe the Lord will use that service to open some eyes and some ears. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to only read two verses. We've already covered most of these verses, in fact, all of these verses up to verse 4. And he says in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Making mention of you in our prayers and remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word, and let God's people say, praise the Lord, and you may be seated. As I have already stated, the theme of this series of studies is reasons for Christians to rejoice. And my brothers and sisters, if anybody in this world has any reason at all to rejoice, it is Christians. In fact, as I'm going to try to show you, I think we have the only legitimate basis for rejoicing, for going through this world with a spirit of joy and praise. Paul wrote to the saints at the church at Philippi, and he said, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. We are the circumcision, he said, which worship God in spirit, and we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And the Lord said to his disciples, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What does that mean? I'm going to show you that we're connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, not only through faith, but we're connected to him by the eternal purpose of God, and whatever he overcomes, we overcome in him. Wherever he is victorious, we are victorious in him. And as we look at the world and we consider all that has happened in it and all that is presently going on in it and the future of it, we must remember that Christians alone, believers in Christ, sinners saved by grace, alone have a reason to rejoice. I'd like to invite your attention to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. There are three critical areas of this existence that we call life. Once we are born, there are three large phases we go through, three chapters to this existence that we call life. One is the world, the second one is death, and the third chapter is eternity. And no other people, whether religious or not religious, have any real reasons to rejoice in this world, even in death and in eternity, but the Christian, the sinner saved by the grace of God. Now, this is important. What is the biblical foundation for our joy in the world? What's the biblical foundation for our joy even in death and as we face eternity? It is the electing love of God. Now, if you're in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, you'll notice that the Lord sent out the disciples. Verse 19, he sent out the disciples. Luke 10, and I think I must have the wrong chapter. Luke 10, behold, I give you power to tread on scorpions. Let's look down to verse, I have the wrong chapter, so I'm just going to quote it to you. It's in the Gospel of Luke, but maybe I missed the chapter. The Lord Jesus called his disciples together, and he said, I'm going to give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of their enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this do not rejoice. Do not rejoice that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, our Savior has been known by many as the Man of Sorrows. An old friend of mine, who is now out of this world, deceased, he told me he could never relate to the Jesus of the religious masses, but because he said that Jesus never seemed to smile. In fact, all of the Renaissance artists portrayed him as never smiling, as somber, and even as melancholy. But we should know that there were truths, and there were occasions that gave our Savior joy. And just after he told the disciples of the fact that their names were written in heaven and that this should be the foundation of their joy, this is what it says. It says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit, and he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things were delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So Jesus, our Savior, did in fact rejoice. The basis of his rejoicing was not in the Super Bowl winner or in the World Series title holder or in the stock market or in politics and who was elected, but he rejoiced, he said, in the sovereign will of the Father. He said, the sovereign will of the Father is the basis of my rejoicing. He rejoiced that the Father was Lord of heaven and earth. He rejoiced that the truth of who he was and what he came to do was revealed unto babes and hidden from the self-righteous and the self-confident. He rejoiced that only through himself could the Father be known and that he alone could reveal the Father. And his reasons for rejoicing should be our reasons for rejoicing. I rejoice in the sovereign will of God. When I lie down at night, I can rest easy on my pillow because I know that my days are numbered. My days are in the Lord's hands. I will be here as long as he wants me here, and no demon, no devil, no disease, no disaster can cut my days off short. I'll be here as long as he wants me here. But when my time is up, all the medicine you can buy and all the doctors you can hire will not extend my life for 10 seconds. Did not our Lord Jesus say you can't make one hair white or black? Why then, he said, do you worry about much other things, many other things? We rejoice that the Father is Lord of heaven and earth. We don't just say he's Lord, we believe he's Lord. We rejoice that the truth of who Jesus is comes by divine revelation by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. We rejoice that only through Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, can the Father be known. So the source of all real joy, beloved, should be the sovereign will of God. And nowhere is the sovereign will of God revealed as it is in the electing love of God. Jesus said to the disciples, "Your names are written in heaven." Don't be all hyped up about the fact that you've got power over these demons and these devils, but rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven. And so I say again, only Christians have real reasons to rejoice in these three critical areas: life, death, and eternity. Now, while we're in this world, let's consider these one at a time briefly. While we're in this world, we are able to rejoice, first of all, because we know that all things work together for good for those who are the called, for those who love God and who are the called according to His purpose. Isn't that what the Scripture says? Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Now, that is an all-inclusive. All things means everything. It means the good things, the bad things, the beautiful things, the ugly things, all of these things, God works in them for our spiritual good if we love God and if we have been called according to His purpose. Our God is able, for example, to take a curse and turn it into a blessing. For example, consider the temptation and the fall of the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve. Now, it was the plan and the purpose of the tempter to bring the human race into judgment and condemnation, and to make all human beings enemies of God forever. But it was the secret plan and purpose of our Creator to save them, and in doing so, and this is very important, in saving them, to secure them on an unconditional footing. See, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, they were on a conditional footing. The condition was this: you do the right things and you'll be fine. But if you do the wrong thing, which was partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, and the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die. That's the condition. So you're always on a conditional footing. Later, when God gave the law, you're on a conditional footing. But when when Adam and Eve were placed into the Garden of Eden, their relationship with the Lord was on a conditional footing. That's where they were. This was the plan of the tempter. But before the foundation of the world, the Scripture says, there was a provision made for Adam and Eve and for those who were the objects of God's electing love even before a Savior came, even before the human race was created. You can check it out in your Bibles, but one passage, if I have this one correct, is Revelation 13 and verse 8, that tells us that there was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Plainly stated, there was a Savior provided before there was a sinner. We are told Jesus was as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now listen, this is why the Lord was able to deal in mercy with Adam and Eve, even though He allowed them to suffer some of the consequences of their disobedience. But He allowed them to do that in order to put their redemption, to redeem them, and to put them on an unconditional footing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He used the tempter to do that. It is the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, who met all the conditions of God and His holy law. And because He met all the conditions, all who are saved by Him stand upon an unconditional footing before God, absolutely secure for all eternity. Now, you might be like David, who greatly sinned against the Lord, but he was forgiven and he was restored. You might be like Saul of Tarsus, who was lost in religion and an enemy of the church and an enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was halted in his wild career. He was called, he was saved, and he was sent out to preach the gospel that he once persecuted. You may be like the prodigal son who left home and spent all of his inheritance, but he was received. He was not only received, he was forgiven. Not only forgiven, he actually was celebrated when he returned home to the Father. And so the plan and the purpose of the devil was turned into the greatest blessing, which was the redemption of a number which no man can number out of every tribe and kindred and nation under heaven, whose salvation was secured by the Lamb of God. By the Lamb of God. Let me tell you something. I know this passage is correct. Romans 8:33 tells us that the elect, those who are called, those who come to faith in Christ, cannot be cursed. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. You're going to challenge God? You have to challenge and overcome God to curse anyone that he has brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe the elect can be deceived regarding the gospel. There shall arise false Christ, Jesus said, and false prophets, and they shall show great signs, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Matthew 24 and verse 24. But it is not possible. The very elect are brought to know who the real Messiah is. They put all their confidence, their hope, their trust for their righteousness, for their salvation in him, and they stand before God accepted in the Beloved. Christ is the way. Christ is the truth. Christ is the life. If we're walking with him in the way toward heaven, then we are walking in the will of the Father. If we are walking with him in the way, in the will of the Father, we cannot therefore be out of the way or going our own way. If we're trusting in him and learning from him, he is the truth. We cannot at the same time be believing a lie. And if we're following after him, we cannot be walking in the way of death, but in the way of life. So he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Only Christians can rejoice as we go through this world with a real, substantial, legitimate joy. Secondly, only Christians can rejoice in death. You remember when Jesus came to the grave of Lazarus, John's Gospel, chapter 11? And first Martha went out to meet him and Mary went out to meet him. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." You remember when they told Jesus that Lazarus was sick, the scripture says Jesus stayed where he was for several days. Stayed where he was for several days. He could have gone. I'll tell you what, turn over to the Gospel of John. Let's see if I have this one right. The Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 1, there was a man named Lazarus, a certain man. He was sick, and he was in the town of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that same Mary, verse 2, that had anointed the Lord's feet with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. And her brother was named Lazarus, and they sent to Jesus in verse 3, and they said, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." Now, I want you to notice, it didn't say, "He who loves you is sick." It says, "He whom you love is sick." That's important. The emphasis is on the love of Christ for Lazarus, not on Lazarus' love for Christ. As I often say, if you love the Lord, I rejoice. But it is his love for you that saves you and not your love for him. It is his work for you that saves you and not your work for him. And when Jesus heard that, he said, oh my goodness, we need to get there quickly before the devil or a disease or coronavirus or something else can take him out. No, it says in verse 4, he says, this sickness is not unto death, that it is not into permanent death, it's not unto the second death, it's not the essence of death, but it's for the glory of God. Now think about that. Sickness for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And therein we learn a lesson, brothers and sisters, and it is this. Whatever befalls us, whatever the Lord allows in our lives, we hope and trust and we want it to be for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Son of God might be glorified. Our attitude needs to be the attitude of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember those three boys in the Old Testament? King Nebuchadnezzar said, I've got a God, and all of you are going to bow down and worship him. And when the orchestra strikes the note over here, I want everybody to bow down. And those three boys did not bow down. And Nebuchadnezzar called them and said, maybe you didn't understand, so let me explain it to you again. We're going to all bow down to my God when you hear the note. And this is what they said. They said, be it known unto thee, O Nebuchadnezzar, that our God is able to deliver us. He's able to deliver us. But he said, but if not, if he doesn't deliver us, we want you to know that we're not going to bow and worship your God. My dear friends, listen to me now. We know a lot about the purpose of God because it's revealed in Scripture, but there's another side to God's purpose, and it's a secret purpose. It's a purpose you don't know anything about. And the reason for suffering many times of a Christian has to do with that secret purpose of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And so therefore, we take the attitude of not only Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, may the Lord help us to be faithful in these days when many are falling away and turning away from Scripture. But let us have the attitude of Job, who said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And so it says that Jesus said, look, this sickness is for the glory of God. And it says in verse 5, there's no doubt that Jesus loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary. Verse 5, Jesus loved them. That's what it says. So now we have this strange verse, verse 6, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 days in the same place where he was. And then after that, he said, let's go to Judea. He stayed where he was. Sometimes when we call the Lord to come and to rescue us from sickness or from disease or from something else, he may stay where he is for a while. He may not come immediately when he called, but he has a purpose in it. We can trust him. We can trust him. We can trust him in his secret and unrevealed purpose. So the disciples were worried about going back there. They said, the Jews have been trying to get you. Verse 8, Jesus said, there are 12 hours in the day, and we're going to walk in the daylight of this day. And if we walk in the night, we'll stumble. We're not going to walk in the night. We are light. We're full of light. I'm the light of this world. We're going to walk that way. Verse 11, he says, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. I have told you 100 times that believers never die, they sleep. Nowhere in the Scripture does it say that a believer died. It says they sleep. They fall asleep in Jesus. He says, but I'm going that I may wake him out of that sleep. And the disciples thought Jesus was giving good rules for getting well. Lord, if he's sleeping, he's doing fine. Isn't that what the physician says? Take some aspirin, take your medicine, get plenty of rest. But it says Jesus spoke of his death, verse 13. They thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. And then Jesus said plainly unto them, verse 14, Lazarus is dead. Now watch this. And I'm glad I wasn't there. Why? Because not only do believers not die but fall asleep, but no one ever died in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody ever died in his presence. And so he said, I'm glad I wasn't there. Because if I'd been there, he wouldn't have died. And that's exactly what Martha and Mary said. Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died, but he had some secret purpose. And so when he got there, of course, he went to the tomb. He called out to Lazarus, and Lazarus came out of that tomb still wrapped in the grave clothes. And both Martha and Mary basically said the same thing. They said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. And Jesus said, look, your brother is going to rise again. And Martha said, well, I know he's going to rise again. I think this is about verse 24, 25. Let's look there, chapter 8. Verse 21, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it to thee. Verse 23, Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Verse 24, Martha said, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And then Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he does die, though he were dead, he shall live again. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Oh, Lord, he said, I believe you're the Christ. I believe you're the Messiah. I believe you're the Son of God that should come into the world. And you know the rest of the story. Jesus went there to Lazarus' grave. He told him to roll the stone away. He looked up to heaven and said, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. But he said, but because of those who stood by, I said what I said, that they might believe that I'm the Messiah, that they might believe that you sent me. And then he said with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead, the scripture says, came walking out of that grave, still with the grave clothes on him. And Jesus commanded those who were there, loose him and let him go. He's alive. Loose him and let him go. A lot of us are alive and we're still dragging those grave clothes with us. May the Lord enable us to be loose from all of that and to walk in the glory of our living, interceding, and soon coming Lord. Death for a Christian becomes the final step of being conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, the means of being perfected, the entering into glory with our Lord. It is the answer to Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. Father, he said, verse 24, John 17, verse 24, you have given them to me, and I want them to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, the glory you gave me. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why, David? Because you're strong? No, thou art with me. Only Christians can rejoice in death. Only Christians. And in the third place, only Christians can rejoice in the prospect of eternity. So going back to David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. But then what? What about after one has walked through the valley of the shadow of death? What then? Well, David goes on to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then when my life is over, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Eternity is the forever that David spoke about. And as one brother said, my interest is in the future because I'm going to spend the rest of my life there. And another brother said, we humans make provision for this life as if it would never end, and we make no provision for the life to come as if it will never begin. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the foundational reason for our joy is the electing love of God. As it says in 1 Thessalonians, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. The God of the Bible has elected a people, and all of his plans and purposes regarding his Son includes those elect people. As I said earlier, the elect are the spiritual body of God's Son. And the Son's spiritual body must be complete with all of its members. All of them must be saved. There are two reasons why the spiritual body of Christ, two reasons why if you're a believer, and I explained what's behind this in a couple of studies way back before we had to not have services. The spiritual body of God's Son must all be complete, and there are two reasons why nobody that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ in truth, two reasons why no member of Christ's body can ever taste death in its fullness. And the first reason is this, because Christ tasted death for them. And number two, because he by his Spirit is in them, he is in his people, and he cannot die. And this is the real reason why we can't taste death in its fullness. Our bodies will die. Brother Drexel Murphy's body is out there in the ground, but he's not. The real reason he can't taste of death in its fullness is because Christ was in him, and Christ is in us, and the grave can't hold Christ or anything or anyone related to him. When the body of Christ suffers in them. When a member of the body of Christ is afflicted or mistreated, Christ is afflicted and mistreated. Remember when the resurrected Christ confronted Saul of Tarsus on his way to Damascus? "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus whom you persecute." But who was Saul of Tarsus persecuting? He was persecuting Christians. And Jesus said, when you're persecuting them, you're persecuting me. You're persecuting members of my spiritual body, you're persecuting me. He would say to those on his left hand, "I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink." In the great judgment day, when all come to stand before the Lord, this is found in Matthew chapter 25. He said he's going to divide them as the sheep from the goat, the wheat from the tares, and the wise from the foolish. And to those on the left hand, "I was hungry, you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. I was in prison, you didn't visit me." And they're going to say, "When?" And he's going to say, "Inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, you did it unto me." Now the world that we live in today is never going to consider it. But much of the judgments that are coming upon the world, and especially upon the United States, is because of the mistreatment of God's people. Jesus warned in Luke chapter 18 that God would avenge his elect. He said this, "Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." And so I say again, the foundational reason for our joy in the world, in death, in eternity, is the electing love of God in Jesus Christ. So I ask you, are you rejoicing today? Do you have an inner joy and an inner peace in the Lord Jesus Christ? You can have that, you will have that, if you realize that our God is on the throne, that he's going to save his people, that he's never going to do wrong. I have said before, and I will say again today, if you're interested in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, then come to him. Come to him, believe on him, embrace him. If you're rejoicing in the sovereign will of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit, you'll have a basis, a legitimate basis for joy. So are you rejoicing that the Father is Lord of heaven and earth? Are you rejoicing in the revelation of the truth of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he came to do? I would like for you to turn to Revelation chapter 12, and then we're going to close. Revelation chapter 12 in the Old New Testament last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 12. John tells us later on in this book of Revelation, he tells us about all this war that's going to be made against the Lamb of God. Then he says that the Lamb's going to overcome them. But at that point, the Lamb is sitting in heaven. And he says, those who are with the Lamb are called and chosen and faithful. That's Revelation 17, verse 14. So when he says the Lamb is going to overcome him, he's talking about the Lamb overcoming them in, by, and through his people. The war against the Lamb is against his people. And I want you to see here in Revelation 12, we've looked at this passage several times over the last couple of years, I suppose. Revelation chapter 12, when the devil was kicked out of heaven and he came down to the earth to do his worst, especially against those who belonged to the Lamb of God. It tells us about the devil, the tempter, the great dragon, bringing a third of the angelic host with him, verse 4, Revelation chapter 12, verse 4. His tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And it talks about a woman that's going to give birth to a child, and her child is destined to rule the world. That has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. So this has to do with all of the resistance and the trouble and the trial attacking God's people to keep the Messiah from being born into the world. And then he says there was war in heaven, verse 7, Revelation 12, verse 7. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against angels. And the dragon did not prevail, couldn't stay in heaven, was cast out. Who is that dragon? Verse 9. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now he comes down to the earth, and the earth now has woe. Rejoice, you heavens, verse 12, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth. The devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that it was cast out into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. Now, many people believe that this woman represents the church, the people of God. And to the woman was given two wings, verse 14. He could not completely devour her, but she was given a means of escape. And so he couldn't wipe her out through physical persecution. So now he begins to try to wipe her out through bad doctrine. Verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water. That water represents heresy, false doctrine, false teaching, to carry away those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he against? Who is he persecuting here? Verse 17, Revelation 12. The dragon was angry with the woman, and he went to make war with the remnant of her seed, and here they are, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a fuller foundation now of their testimony. Look at verse 11. Tell you how they overcame the devil. They overcame him by, verse 11, the blood of the Lamb. Their salvation was in the shed blood of the Lamb. He died as their substitute. He died in their place. He kept all the law, and then he paid for their sins. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. What is their testimony? Their testimony is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Some of them said, well, some say you're one of the Old Testament prophets come back. Some say you're John the Baptist reincarnated. Who do you say that I am? We say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, upon this testimony, upon this basis, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So We trust in the blood of Christ paying for our sin. Our testimony is that Jesus is the Christ. And he says they loved not their lives even unto the death. So what does this teach us? It teaches us that the Lord doesn't deliver every single one from persecution who trust in him. There are a lot of people who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that have not been delivered from the persecution. Read it in the last five verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. There were people who were tortured. There were people who didn't have adequate food. They didn't have adequate clothes. They had to run and hide, but they received a good report because they trusted in the blood of the Lamb. The word of their testimony was Jesus is the Christ, and they loved not their lives even unto the death. My dear friends, the basis of our joy, the basis of our rejoicing is the electing love of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only safe place of hiding for time and eternity is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say these things mark those people who truly are in the Lord Jesus Christ. So make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, Peter said, you'll never stumble and you'll never fall. As we go through this world and as we face death and eternity, let us rejoice in our Savior, in our God. And let us make melody in our hearts, and let us be like a little boy named Billy Bray. Billy Bray and his friend Johnny went to visit some people who were sick, who were shut in. And they had a good visit with them, and they had prayer with them, and they told them about the hope that they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they were leaving, Billy Bray said, Johnny and I are going to make the valleys ring with our singing and praising as we go home. You are a singer, Billy? Oh, yes, I can sing as well or as sweetly. I cannot sing as well or as sweetly as some, but my Heavenly Father likes to hear me sing, as well as those who sing better than me. He likes to hear the crow as well as the nightingale, because he made them both. Now, we may not carry a nice melody, but let's sing and rejoice in our Savior who loves us and he gave himself for us. The poet has said, now joyful songs my lips employ to him who loved and bled and died, my never-ending theme of joy, Jesus for me was crucified. Louder in heaven I'll lift my voice and make its very vaults rejoice. My never-ending theme of joy, Jesus for me was crucified. May the Lord help you, those of you who make professions of faith, to understand that your God loves you and he's in charge of things. And you don't have to worry about them. You just put yourself in his hands and say with Jesus, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord bless his word that has been so weakly delivered, but the power is in him and not in the messenger. Let's stand together. If anyone here has any questions about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, about coming to Christ, about being saved by Christ, please let me know. I'll be happy to meet with you, to talk to you, to pray with you, until you understand and see that salvation is in Christ and in his shed blood, in his present intercession, and he's coming again to get us. Won't be long. You say, how you know that? Well, because most of us are not going to live to be 100 years old. And the older you get, the shorter that looks. Our brother who passed away a week, 10 days ago, Drexel, was 86 years old. I've known him since he was probably in his late 30s. 86 years old. And the Lord gave him 86 years. He used his wife, Shirley, to minister to him. She changed his diet. She changed all kind of things. If she hadn't done that, he would have been gone years ago. But that was all in the plan of the Lord. He gave Drexel a wife that became the Lord's handmaid to him. And he's gone, but he's with the Lord. His body is still here, but he's with the Lord. Oh, what a great prospect we have of being with Christ. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Let's sing our little song, Under the Blood of Jesus. Under the blood of Jesus, safe in the shepherd's fold. Under the blood of Jesus, safe all the angels roam. Safe though the world may cry. Under the blood of Jesus, I am secure in Him. Our Father, we call upon you once again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us that your word is the final answer, that your word is the foundation upon which we stand, that it is in your word that the truth is revealed. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We pray for all of our boys and girls, our moms and dads, our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, who do not know you. Oh, that they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that they might seek the Lord while there is yet time to seek Him. Be found in Him when the trump of God shall sound, and our Lord shall come with all of His holy angels in the glory of His Father. Then shall we be caught up to be with the Lord, and forever we shall be with Him. Lord, I ask you to send an awakening to these United States. I ask you to, Lord, raise up men and women and boys and girls who love you and who stand for the truth and who stand on your word, that your name may be glorified, that your people may be saved and edified, that sinners might be justified. We ask it in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for His